It is 17 minutes before the hour here on the Gerard at Large Radio Show, and we're pleased to be in studio with John DePietro. He's the web savvy guy. And, looks like I might have to... Here, grab this knob.
No, I'm good. Talk into the mic. I'll sink down.
Okay. Well, all right. You know, that now that I'm getting all, you know...
You don't like the hunched over body language.
Well, you know, the thing is, you know, Mike Bistany, who comes in on Thursdays, my personal trainer and the anchor of our fitness effects thing, he's got me doing stuff that just makes me sit up now.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like an involuntarily sitting up thing. And actually, I was going to have you do was turn that knob and...
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And tilt it up just a hair. There you go. But John is our web savvy guy. Are we career gravity or Authentia today? What are we today?
We're Authentia. We're going to talk about Google and how it could rig the 2016 election.
Jeez, good God. All right. So Authentia is your end-to-end digital marketing company, and John is their inbound marketing and web presence specialist. What's that mean? Well, that means if you want to be seen on the web and you rely on your website for business, if you don't know John and what John and his company do, well, you're probably losing out. AuthentiaSoft.com is their website, AuthentiaSoft.com. So Google's going to rig the 2016 election.
Well, I wouldn't put it in a declarative context
would.
Like that, but
I would.
The article that I found a couple of weeks ago, it was kind of eye-popping, was that they certainly could.
Okay.
It was written by a guy who, and it opens up by saying America's next president could be eased into office not just by TV ads or speeches, but by Google's secret decisions.
Google's secret decisions. Does this have to do with how people search on the web and find things, or
it does? He has actually conducted experiments.
The author of this post. And who's the author?
His name is Robert Epstein Epstein.
And we believe him to be a credible source of information because.
Because this was on Politico, so...
Because it's on the internet!
Yeah.
Oh, Politico. Well, all right.
Well, I mean, they're published studies, and in the proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences.
Okay.
So you would assume that this is... I mean, first of all, it makes total sense. It's complete, especially knowing what I know as a digital marketer. It didn't surprise me at all.
Okay.
What I thought was interesting were he actually conducted experiments and has numbers now.
Okay.
About the degree to which this is possible.
Oh dear.
So he lists out three different scenarios by which Google could do this. Before he gets into that, he talks about the search engine manipulation effect that he studied, and he published the results of this study. And what he did was to, or what this study showed is that he was able to deliberately boost the proportion of people who favored any candidate between 37 and 63% after one session. And, did you know the impact of viewing these rankings repeatedly over a period of weeks and months would be larger than just this small experiment that he did. So what he did specifically was he took randomly selected participants and assigned them to one of three groups. And these groups either favored candidate A, candidate B, or neither. They were neutral. And they were given a brief description of each candidate and asked before this, they asked how much they liked and trusted each candidate and who they would vote for. Then they were given 15 minutes to conduct online research on the candidates using a search engine they created called Kadoodle. And then each group had – it was the exact same set of 30 search results. The only thing they changed were the order in which – the stories were presented.
Okay.
And that resulted, when they were done searching, they asked the questions again about who they liked and who they trusted. And by all measures, opinions shifted in the direction of the candidate who was favored in the rankings. Trust, liking, and voting preferences all shifted predictably. Now, here's the scariest part. More alarmingly, we also demonstrated this shift with real voters during an actual electoral campaign, an experiment conducted with 2,000 eligible undecided voters throughout India in the 2014 Lok Sabha election there. The largest Democratic election in history, we have more than 800 million eligible voters, blah, blah, blah. Even here, the real voters who were highly familiar with the candidates and who were being bombarded with campaign rhetoric every day showed that the rankings could boost the proportion of people favoring any particular
Just where they ranked in the search
right.
had an impact on whether or not people would vote for them.
Exactly. Just changing the order of the search results.
So if all of a sudden... who was I talking about this morning? They're so pathetic, I can't even remember. Pataki and Gilmore.
Right.
I shouldn't say they're pathetic, but in their poll standings, right?
Right.
So if all of a sudden Pataki and Gilmore started showing up on the first page of Google in a search rather than, say, Trump or Bush, then there would be a surge in favor of Pataki and Gilmore.
Right. Yeah, and we're in elections that are won.
God.
You know, right now, a landslide political election is 7 percentage points, right? And he's talking about the ability to shift 25 to 80%.
Well, I guess they're going to start, the campaigns are going to start investing some serious money into search engine optimization.
Well, here's the thing. The point of the article is that Google could easily rig the election to come out any way they want. And, you know, in the first scenario, he calls the Western Union scenario. And this was interesting because I didn't even know about this. But did you know that Western Union rigged the election in favor of Rutherford B. Hayes back in the 1800s?
I did not know that.
Yeah. He said Western Union had a monopoly on communications. And just before the election of 1876, the company did its best to assure that only positive news stories about Hayes appeared in newspapers nationwide.
Wasn't Rutherford B. Hayes one of those guys who lost the popular vote but won the electoral vote?
I don't know.
I think he was. I'm gonna Google it while you're talking, John.
So what the point he's making here is that I think everybody's aware that Google has very strong ties to the Democrat Party. Back in 2012, their executives donated $800,000 to Obama and $37,000 to Romney. There are six top tech officials in the Obama administration, and Hillary Clinton's has hired a top Google executive as her chief technology officer. So now, while that's possible, is it plausible that the Google executives are going to deliberately rig their search engine to favor a political candidate?
Well, by a vote of 800 to 37, one could conclude that.
Well, yeah, but that's their own money, you know, as opposed to using their publicly traded company to do this. I think it's a pretty remote possibility that they would, you know, brazenly and deliberately do that. But, you know, it's possible. The second scenario is what he calls the Marius Milner scenario. Marius Milner was a rogue employee at Google.
I was right.
You were right. Well done.
He got 185 electoral votes to Samuel J. Tilden's 184, and he got 4,036,298 votes to Tilden's 4,300,590.
Well, that being the case, then that news cycle manipulation almost certainly would have made that possible.
Hmm. It's interesting to see what states are red and blue on this one. But anyway, continue.
Mm-hmm. So the second scenario essentially is where you have a rogue employee with access to just the right levers
okay.
inside of the search engine to, you know, manipulate things in a particular way. And, you could envision conspiracy theories where the To coin a Deflategate term, where the executives were generally aware of what was going on, but no, you know, didn't give specific instructions on it.
By the way, did you know in 1876, Maine had 7 electoral votes, New Hampshire and Vermont each had 5, and Florida only had 4?
Wow. Imagine that, huh? Times have changed.
My head. Okay, continue.
So the third possibility is the algorithm scenario where the employees are innocent, but the software is evil.
Oh.
So the algorithm is pushing one candidate or the other just because of the way the algorithm is written. So, I mean, in you can make the argument that, you know, as you look at Silicon Valley, and I mean, these are all people who live in San Francisco, right? We all know which way the political leanings go mm-hmm. out there. So these are people who, you know, yes, it's a computer program, but computer programs are written by people. And people have their own biases. And as a coder is sitting there writing one small piece of the algorithm,
mm-hmm.
they're making decisions on what's important and what's not.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact of the matter is you've got, you know, probably dozens or even hundreds of software engineers who are working on this who are going to have one predominant, you know, political leanings, and that kind of has to feed in. Now, whether it actually affects anything is really hard to say, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's something to be aware of, and it's really interesting. And again, it's something that I think I was aware of, if not sensitive to. I've heard it talked about a lot before, but more in conspiratorial context, right?
Mm-hmm.
What I found interesting about this article were the actual numbers. And a final note, if you remember, at the beginning of the article, they mentioned one particular demographic group who was particularly sensitive to this sort of manipulation, where they were able to shift the opinions more than 75%.
On my head.
Want to guess which group?
It's got to be the millennials.
No, it's not an age group. Think Democrat or Republican.
Oh, Democrat, of course.
No, moderate Republicans.
Moderate Republicans.
Yeah.
Well, Democrat by another name.
It would make sense, right, that it would have to be a moderate group of one or the other, because if you are, you know, on the extreme side of either, you're not even going to, you know, cognitive dissonance isn't even going to allow you to consider headlines that don't reinforce what you already believe.
Hmm.
So you would think it would have to be a moderate
group. It would think it would have to be someone without any sort of, you would think it would have to be someone without any real underpinnings philosophically or otherwise.
Right.
Hmm.
And it would have to be someone who's actually interested in learning and looking at the facts and taking those into consideration.
Well, you're not meaning to imply that people with a philosophy are uninterested in learning and facts.
Did I say that out loud? No. I just said that's what the experiment would suggest to me if you didn't apply any labels to it. The people who are quote-unquote manipulated are being manipulated by information, and you're presenting information
right.
that's skewed that they don't know is skewed.
Just like in the days of Rutherford B. Hayes, 1876.
Oh, B. Hayes.
Yes. John DePietro, thanks for being with us here this morning for Web Savvy and for giving us hope that the elections will turn on the independent analysis of information provided by skewed sources. Potentially. AuthentiaSoft.com is where you can find John. That's AuthentiaSoft.com. Traffic, weather, sports.